You're listening to Sunday Worship at Weddington Methodist Church. Find more ways to worship, fellowship, serve, study, and be supported at weddingtonchurch.org.
I invite you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to 3 John. So I'm going to give you a moment to find 3 John, because it's not the Gospel of John. It's the little guy toward the back of the book. And if you're going, exactly where is he? Start a Revelation, the very back, take a left. Go through Jude, slow down, because 3 John is only one chapter. 3 John, chapter 1. 3 John. And hear these words beginning at verse 1. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it is well with your soul. I was overjoyed when some of the friends arrived and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, namely, how you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Will you pray with me? God, we're just so grateful for your love and grace and this privilege now of studying together your holy word. And as I stand before these, your people, this is your church, I pray that this will be your message and not my own, through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus spoke a lot about truth, even saying, I am the truth. Just a few months ago, when we were sharing together about Easter, we actually looked at a conversation that went on between Jesus and Pilate. When Pilate was trying to figure out, why is it that these people are after you? Why are they trying to destroy you? What can we do? And he looks at him and goes, are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? And in John 18, verse 37, Jesus answers, you say that I am king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Pilate asked him, what is truth? Now therein lies the powerful question, what is indeed truth? And last week, we joined together and we were looking at Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about putting on this whole armor of God. And we were looking at what does it mean to put on the armor of God. But you might remember, as part of that armor, he goes, and put around your waist the belt of truth. Truth. 3 John is an interesting little letter. It's only one chapter, and so if you really want to feel impressive today, just go ahead and take a few moments to read the remaining few verses. There's only 15, but then you can tell all your friends, I sat down today and read an entire book of the Bible. It's a letter to an individual. Now, one of the things that you may learn when you look at studying, for example, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, is that 1 John seems to be written to a group of churches. It's more of a universal kind of letter written to a group. But then 2 John funnels down a little bit. 2 John is written to a particular church, a particular group of people. And 3 John funnels down even more and is written to an individual by the name of Gaius. We don't know a whole lot about Gaius. Everything we know about him, you now know, because this is the only place that he's really mentioned in the scriptures. There are other places that you'll hear about a Gaius, but it's not the same one. I mean, Gaius is a very common Roman name, kind of like when we might talk about Bob or Tom or Sally or Susie or some very common names, like my name. Who would have thought my name was a common name? But when you go to the little Ace Hardware that I go to, they'll go, I have three Terry Moores in the system. How in the world did you get three of us in your system? So it's a common kind of name, Gaius. But we do know he's the leader of a congregation, and John adores him. John has this love for him, this appreciation for him. I wish we knew more about him. John actually refers to him as one of his children. No greater joy than when one of my children are walking in the truth. In other words, John had a genuine relationship with him where he was like a mentor to him, a teacher to him, a coach to him, almost a parent-child type relationship. And he's so proud of who Gaius has become. He commends him. He said, you walk. You are faithful to the truth, and you walk in the truth. You're an incredible guy. Now, when you keep reading, you'll see that one of the things John's commending him on is his hospitality. Hospitality was an expectation in the culture of the day. But Gaius just seems to go above and beyond, realizing that to be a Christian, to be a disciple of Jesus, is not simply to fulfill the minimum things of loving your neighbor, but to go that extra mile. And his hospitality was absolutely exceptional, to the point when others would come back who've been out spreading the gospel, they would go, you won't believe the way this guy took care of us, the way he treated us, the way he loved us. Gaius, walking in the truth. Notice how much John mentions truth in just those first couple opening lines. Gaius, whom I love in the truth, your faithfulness to the truth, how you walk in the truth. No greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. I mean, it seems to be such a vital thing. What is truth? It's a great question that Pilate asked. Now, one of the things I think that's happening in our culture today when we watch, and maybe it's been a part of every culture of all times, but we seem to try to make truth relative today. You even hear people talk about, well, this is my truth. How do you have your truth? It's either true or it's not true. I may wish something were true or not true, but that doesn't change it. Truth transcends me. It's beyond me. Truth is truth, like it or not. Now, the other night, the Panthers were playing. And there's a family in the church that I won't call them out because they're in this room today, but they have this texting group that goes on among some of the family members, and by grace, I have been invited into that conversation. So we like to laugh and joke. So, you know, you watch the game, listen to, you know, the way the game is called, and then we have texting where we give our opinions among each other. Finally, you know, at a point during the game the other night, someone said, I am trying very hard to convince myself it's preseason and does not matter. And I replied, denial is my happy place. Right? I mean, don't we just like denial? You know, you can just kind of go there and hang out when you don't want to deal with reality. You know, you just kind of shift away. Denial is my happy place. But I can deny it all I want to. It doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change reality. Just last night, I was having conversations with a couple of my brothers, and one of them has been battling a malignant brain tumor, and we've been talking about his treatments and the MRI that he just had and the appointments that he has scheduled and all those things, and I'm his healthcare power of attorneys, and we were having all these various conversations late into the evening, and I may just love to deny it. But the truth is still there, no matter what. And truth is beyond us, regardless of whether we disagree with something or not. It doesn't change whether it's true. How do we handle truth? We want to be the ones to determine what is right. I think that's part of the original sin. When you go back and read Genesis, there's always been this competition. I want to finesse it to where it says what I want it to say. I mean, the temptation in the garden was questioning, did God really say this? And I think it's one of the reasons we often see people trying to manipulate Scripture. If we can go, did God really say this? If I can throw some doubt, it allows me to twist the truth to what I want it to be. But can I really? Or is what's true still true? One of my favorite stories is, again, in Exodus chapter 32. You probably know the story. Exodus, of course, is where God calls Moses to lead the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And there's a part in Exodus 32 when Moses has gone up onto the mountain to be with God. And he was up there a little bit too long to where people started getting restless. And when people get restless, things happen like they formed a committee. You know you're in trouble when you got a committee. They formed a committee, they got together, they started talking about, you know, he's been up there a long time. Yeah, he's been up there a long time. What do you think we should do? I don't know. Do you think he's coming back? I don't know. He said he was coming back. Well, he's been up there a long time. Sure has been up there a long time. And pretty soon, someone makes a motion. I move that we collect all the gold and silver and the jewelry around, we melt it down, and let's just make us a god. And it passed. So they collect all this stuff and they decide, we're going to melt it down. Well, what are we going to melt it into? And somebody on the committee spoke up and said, I just love baby cows. Let's make us a golden calf. And it passed the committee. That's what they decided to do, which reminds me, sometimes when I watch commercials on television, I will look over at Nancy and go, can you believe that there was a group of people in a conference room around a table who went, that sounds like a good idea right there. So all of a sudden, they melt down all this stuff and they turn it into a golden calf. They called it God. They worshiped it. They danced before it. They sang to it. But no matter how they manipulated it, it still was nothing. No matter what they called it and tried to do, it wasn't really God. And truth, no matter how we try to melt it down and shape it ourselves, truth is truth, and it's beyond us and what we can create with it. Now, the Greek word is aletheia for truth, and Dr. Robert Kaiser, for example, says that truth is living by the revelation of God in Christ. Truth is living by the revelation of God in Christ. Dr. D. Moody Smith, in his commentary on 3 John, says, truth, as we have seen, is a surrogate or synonym for Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Now, in John chapter 14, Jesus does something that raises all kinds of eyebrows. As a matter of fact, it'll help lead to get him killed. And that is that Jesus stands before the people and he makes this statement when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, there's something that happens there in the language that was used that we sometimes miss. We've looked before at, in the Gospel of John, there's what's known as the ego e me sayings, or the I am sayings of Jesus. Ego e me is the Greek, but it's a redundant kind of Greek. It's a Greek that says, I am, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this raised all kinds of eyebrows because it's like all caps, bold and underlined, I am. And it comes all the way back from Exodus chapter 3 when God had called Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Moses goes, God, I don't even know your name. And when I just go in and say, God sent me, they're going to go, who is this God? What's his name? And you hear the name of God is I am. I am that I am. This is my name. This is my title for all generations. Tell them that I am has sent you to them. So when Jesus stands up, he says, I am. Now that's the name of God, as I mentioned, Yahweh, and it was so revered, such a holy and sacred name. As a matter of fact, one of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 is that we never dare take the name of God in vain, to the point that the rabbis and others and the scribes would dare not utter the name of God in a way that was less than holy, so they would substitute the word Lord, the title Lord, for the name of God. That's why in some of your Bibles, you'll see that the word Lord is in all uppercase, all capital letters. Because actually, in the scripture, is the name of God. But we dare not utter the name of God in a way that is less than reverent. So when Jesus stands up and goes, I am, boldly proclaiming, I am God and I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. People went, that's blasphemy. He is claiming to be God. But Jesus said, I am God and I am the truth. That's why he says then in John 8:31, then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I mean, this is the word of God. It's what Jesus says. This is truth. Now, the challenging thing is in this scripture that John is writing to Gaius about is not simply, wow, you have this amazing understanding of truth. Wow, you are one of the greatest biblical scholars. You are able to dissect and understand truth in a super way. But rather, what I'm amazed is, and what I hear about you, and what I'm so proud of, is that you are faithful to the truth and you walk in the truth. That's why we grew up hearing sayings such as, practice what you preach. Don't just talk the talk, but
walk the walk.
So we know these things. Because the point of it is, it's not only about what do I have up here, but how do I live it out? John Wesley wrestled with that when he recognized that he had fides, he had head faith, he believed in God, he was the son of a priest, he was an Oxford professor, he had the faith, how do I get it to my heart from fides to fiducia? How do I make the move? And what John is saying to Gaius is, what I love about you is not only do you have it, you live it. You see, it's easy for us to come into a safe space like this, we even call it sanctuary, and talk about our faith. But in just a few moments, we're gonna sing a closing hymn. We're gonna have a benediction, and we're going out those doors. And the question is, can we walk it? We can talk it. Can we walk it? There's nothing, John says, that brings me more joy than to know that my children actually walk in the truth. It's part of their DNA. It's part of their essence. It's part of their being. Being a Christian, it's not what we do on Sunday morning as we come together to sing praise and worship God, but it's who we are. It becomes our essence and our being. Dr. N.T. Wright, in his commentary on 3 John, said, As in the previous letter, John is delighted to know that someone is walking in the truth, behaving with that integrity which both reflects and embodies the truth of the gospel itself. Walking with that integrity that reflects and embodies the truth of the gospel itself. Now, he mentioned previous letters. What did John say in his previous letters? Well, if you back up to the 1 John, 1 John 3:18 says, "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action." Do something with it. "And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him." Skip to the second letter, 2 John 1, verse 4. "I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father." Skipping down to verse 6. "And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you heard it from the beginning, and you must walk in it." Our faith is more than what we believe up here, intellectual assent to a doctrine, but rather how do we take our faith and our doctrine and live it out as disciples of Jesus Christ. N.T. Wright goes on then to say, "We can take it that this involves not just correct doctrine and proper outward behavior, but that love for God and for one's fellow believers, which for John is the sign that the truth of the gospel has really been grasped. Not as an abstract idea, but as what it is, the very life of God himself at work in his people." God at work. Now the challenging thing for us then is, we know the truth. Will we submit to the truth? We know the truth. Do we surrender to the truth, submit to the truth? Or do we try to play with the truth? And we know when we're doing it. We know because sometimes you'll hear people say, "Well, I'm not really being true to myself," or "I'm not really being true about this," which means we know, we just wish it was different sometimes. Do we submit to what God wants us to do, and will we walk in God's truth, which he was so proud of, Gaius? You not only are faithful to the truth, you walk it. Will we walk in the truth? One of my favorite prayers is in John chapter 17. And I look back at the stained glass window of Jesus kneeling there in prayer. And I love that John just gives us this beautiful image of what Jesus is praying before God as he's preparing for the cross. And he's praying for the disciples. Then he prays for the church. He prays for all of us who will become disciples and people of God. And I love in verse 17, John 17, verse 17, he says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Your word is truth. But the prayer is sanctify, which means to make holy. Not, "God, I pray that these people will finally get it right and become holy." Because we can't do it on our own. It's a gift of grace. "God, I pray that you will make them holy. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." We live in an age that wants to relativize truth, relativize the scripture, relativize Jesus. He's just a good man. Jesus said, "I am the truth." The question is, will we submit to it and walk in it? Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for your love and grace. God, we give you thanks for your word and for the truth. To be able to know your amazing love for us, that's truth. That you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that's truth. and that your Son is the truth, your word made flesh among us. No wonder then Jesus said, your word is truth. And God, we pray that you would help us all to know your truth, to know it, and then to submit to it. For it's one thing to be able to academically or intellectually assent to something. It's another to submit to it in our lives. And then to walk in the truth. God, when John wrote to Gaius, he was so proud of him for walking in the truth. What would he write to us today as your church? May we, your people, know the truth, submit our lives to the truth, and walk in the truth, for that's who we are, your disciples, in the name of and on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.